Can I propose that we allow members to have whatever they want to have, and then our guests will follow, so that we start in a minute, so that when we have spent, we are all in 7 minutes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't care, I don't care. bereta wakona.
Sotega kum. Tá por aí. Dá o que diz.
Fica aí no vídeo aqui tudo.
Ó, um freio.
Ai.
Morning, everybody. Am I audible now? Bear with us. We are not sensitive and when we are ready, we will then start. Remember, everything here is about money. So we are to ensure that we don't conduct our business outside of the community. Thank you very much. I'm worried about this. Why do I feel? Okay, now we are then going to start. I hope all of us have the documents in front of us, or remember that document in the question that we are then going to say from Sister OG. In welcoming everybody, we're not going to waste a lot of our time. God willing, we do have two presentations today. Having said that, we will then start with the formalities, which we will introduce ourselves using the mic. The house rules are our phones, either they are off or they are on silent. For the benefit of those that may be coming on for the first time, which may be guests, is that after the presentation, only members that are allowed to ask questions and only presenters that are allowed to respond. And we will then bring in the department over because those are entities of the department. But other people, it's only those in terms of the house rules. You can ask questions when you break for tea, but during the committee session, we are then not allowed to do. When we introduce ourselves, we will use my name and surname and any institution or any organization that interests me. Only those that are from media houses that are allowed to take the chance. Any other person is not allowed. Having said that, I am doing a lot of work. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Next to me is Yogan Machalamba, who is the secretary of the committee. At the extreme back on my left, it's Selina, who is the secretary to the office of the chair. Bali, who is the committee assistant. Nonchando is the secretary to the office of the Women of the African National Congress. On my extreme right, at the back is Moses, who is part of the research. Next to him is Nilogoto, who is our content advisor. Asanda, who is the researcher of the African National Congress study group. Next to her is Zubair, who is also part of the research team. I will then allow honorable members to introduce themselves using the mic. After that, and then the rest of the people that are in there. How you do it depends on you, but the members will introduce themselves. Thank you very much.
Really warm to that too. Nak maisha wa maisha. Kulukula komitie ya jabo kilo mo parlamenti. Kalabo.
Morning, Chair. My name is Mulelo Nkonzo. Ilumula le parlamenti le komitie ya fire.
Good morning, my name is Arai Tita, Member of Parliament.
My name is Mandy Sapiru Samachoka, and the alternate member of this committee.
Good morning, Dumela. My name is Patricia Kopani, a member of the Portfolio Committee of Health. Thank you.
Sister Oti, over to you.
Jai Krishnaswamy, the Compensation Commissioner, National Department of Health.
Duncan Charlie from the MTOD, National Department of Health.
Samuel Lauti, Deputy Commissioner, CCOD, National Department of Health.
Fred Makua, Minister of Health.
Shireen Padesi, National Department of Health.
I'm Mr. Lee, DDD, National Department of Health.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can help. Catherine Yerden, IP Capital, assisting CCOD Finance.
Conrad Curie, IP Capital, also assisting the CCOD Finance.
Aubrey van Vieren, Harmony Gold, in the working group.
Ngobani from Burmans on the obstacle working group.
Good morning, my name is Joe Maita, I'm a food person from the department.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Lindy Soza, Commissioner Department of Health.
Morning, colleagues. Mpondaba from the Department of Planning, Monitoring, Development, Machine, Presenting.
Morning, colleagues. My name is Kayla Shpana, also from the DPME.
Good morning. My name is Bob Governor from Mediclinic.
I'm Rich Puthis from Harmony Gold.
I'm Kyokeritsu Matila from Goldflow.
I'm Tamar Khan from Business Day.
I'm Olu Ali Kemsala from PMG, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Chair, thanks. I do apologize.
Sorry for that. We have got a couple of apologies for members. Mr. Mashalela Dewitt is out of the country, attending an ACT of EU in Belgium. And Ms. Ndaba, Ms. Botwell, Ms. James had a bereavement. Dr. Tembe Kwayo is unable to attend, there's no reason, and Mr. Imam Sheikh is not well. Those are the apologies that I have been very much over to you.
Chair, as you know, we've tried to bring all stakeholders to this meeting. It just was the shortness of notice, and we will work with your office for the next inputs. But we do appreciate coming. And unfortunately, some of the colleagues in the trade unions could not make the decision, but we're glad that Chamber of Mines, so called working women mining companies, are here. And I must appreciate right at the outset to other colleagues from other departments that give us some support, particularly in the presidency. And they are also present. I work very closely with them as well. Thanks, and to my colleagues. So, my presentation is really an update. As members will know, that we were terminal at some stage and then brought into ICU, intensive care unit, and hopefully slowly we get into high care. So the process is moving, and we have not produced audited annual financial statements to this committee, to Parliament, as of the 2009-10 financial year. But I'll give you an update as to what happened with 10, 11, 11, 12, and input. So in a sense, we are giving you an unaudited presentation on the 2016-17 financial year, because we are still building our base of 10, 11, 11, 12, 12, 13 as we come forward. And that's why the whole issue was about terminal. We were dying and dead, and then we resuscitated the CCOD and Medical Bureau for Occupational Diseases. And I think we're going to be moving forward in terms of being alive and well to deliver services to the workers in mines and works. So just the highlights for the 2016-17, and members would recall we do have an annual performance plan that was passed by this committee a year and a half ago. And just to highlight, the figures in brackets, the figures with the star is the target, and what we achieved in the 2016-17 financial year. Unfortunately, it's unaudited, so you don't have a way. You have to just go with our input, and we do apologize for that. Although internal audit and the audit and risk committee has been overseeing the process. So benefit medical examinations are examinations to mine workers, either in the form of if they've got TB and currently within the mining sector, they will have an examination done by the mine itself, and some of the mining houses are here, like Harmony and Goldfield. And if they become ex-mine workers, they become the Department of Health has to provide those services. And later on, we're going to talk about the one-stop service and Ms. Pardesi will give some input in. So these are special medical examinations just for members that might recall. You have to do chest x-rays, lung function tests, and a clinical evaluation. Because unlike an injury, which is immediate, these diseases come 10 to 20 years after the person has left the industry. So, and it can't be self-diagnosed. So you have to actually provide a clinical evaluation of the person. And that's been the problem in the past, that one in three of the ex-mine workers are non-South African. They enlisted to Mozambique, and I presented previous reports to you all about the numbers. And in South Africa, because of the migrant labor system, the bulk of them are in the Eastern Cape, where the chairperson comes from. And we're going to give you some exciting news about some of the work we have been in terms of outreach and awareness. So we increased the benefit medical examinations by 21%. And this is as a result of substantive investments that have been made partly by the mining companies in assisting to pulling the CCOD around. Certifications, which Dr. Michali runs, she's a medical doctor. She's seconded from the mining industry. There were queries at previous portfolio committees about ethics, and my view is that ethical consideration there. We have about 19 doctors that have been seconded from the mining industry to help me out with the certification. But when we do the clinical evaluations in the field, in Kurman, in Amtata, in Carltonville, in Shashai, those documents are then sent, the chest x-ray, lung functions, etc., sent to Johannesburg, where Dr. Michali sits, with a team of a panel of doctors, three doctors in the panel, and they then check if there's a compensable illness. So it's a panel of people who've got what's called occupational health experience and a postgraduate qualification. So the certifications increased by 101%. So our target was 10,000, we did 20,000 last year. And it's a tremendous difference. They've been working two panels a day and virtually working 5 days a week. Payments. When somebody has then a compensable illness, after the panel has decided that they have a compensable illness, pneumoconiosis, polyposis, TB, etc., asbestosis, then we pay. And the Deputy Commissioner has been active in that in terms of the payments, and that we increased by 60%. And I'll give you the data later on as we go forward. We've been inspecting the mines. This was a query in terms of verification of risk shifts. We get levies from the mines for revenue, and we had to go and inspect the mines. So we had predicted 50, we went for 79. Outreach activities. We did a lot of outreach activities last year, various parts of South Africa and in neighboring countries, and I'll give you some examples of that later on. So that went up 30%. Revenue increased by 5%, 15 million. But overall, because our payout increased, we've got a decrease in the fund. But we, you know, we can talk to that later on with the Deputy Commissioner or without being with finance or us. The one-stop service centers were important, and often the portfolio committee asked about them. These are the two internal one-stop service centers, Carltonville and Amtata, and we saw 2,270 ex-mine workers at these centers. The key area was previously people had to come to Johannesburg for their services, those chest x-rays, lung functions. And we'll give you an update that Kurman and Burgersport is well on its way to being, in fact, will be open later this year. And Dr. Pardesi will talk to that. But we see ex-mine workers for the decentralized services, taking services to our people so that they don't have to come to Johannesburg. And there are 7 one-stop service centers similar to Carltonville and Amtata that's been set up in the Lesotho, Mozambique, Swaziland, and Botswana. There's another 5 that will be set up in other neighboring countries like Tanzania, Zambia, and Zimbabwe, and we'll talk about that in a little while. In terms of the 10-11 annual report and audited financial statements, we had a disclaimer on that from the Auditor General. We apologize that the report hasn't come to you with the government printed. The wheels of government do take a long time. We have to procure So it's signed off by the Minister and the Auditor General, and I'm sure that soon a bunch of deputies will call off as to when the report will come to Parliament. There was a disclaimer on 10-11. Prior to the 10-11 annual report and audited financial statement, we had 6 years of disclaimers. So essentially, Auditor General came, saw, and couldn't even make an opinion. But, Chair, we want to report that we moved to a qualification on revenue in the 11-12. So, you know, that's significant, and we'll talk about that, what we're doing now about the revenue collection and how we are making sure that we can sort it out. Previously, the problems were around the actual valuation report, which was displayed. There was a problem because 30% of the files couldn't be found, and we had a problem with the actual valuation not being accepted. Then it led into the liability of the fund, etc., and there were a whole lot of issues around the fund. Now, on the payment side, we really come around in a big way, and the Auditor General has given us a clean bill of health, and hence there's just the qualification of revenue. There were some issues of emphasis, like the IT system, and I'm glad to say that the CFO is finding 20 million rands to support us with a revamped IT system, because about 30% of the report is about the IT problems in having an outdated IT system, and the CFO, the Director General has finally approved the new IT system, and the CFO is finding the money, so we thank the National Department of Health for coming to the party. I'll report later on about what we're doing about 12, 13, 13, 14, etc. in terms of the set. And then one of the major issues we've done by our Minister and the DG and other colleagues of National Health, Dr. Anbin Pillay, who we report to, and then through the Presidency, Department of Mineral Resources, Department of Labor, SADC, NEPAD, African Union, we've raised the profile of compensation and social protection. Members might recall that while I got 1.2 billion rand in unclaimed benefits on a 3.9 billion rand fund for 100,000 ex-mine workers, we've got 45 billion rand in unclaimed funds, pension funds, provident funds, etc., for about 4 million workers in Southern Africa. So, and through the Presidency and Mr. Ndaba is here, we've been working together with the Chamber of Mines to now carve out the Mine Workers Social Protection Fund so that we can actually get an integrated process as we go forward. So we widen the base, and this will be a massive cash transfer. The funds are there, we can't find the people. And with some innovations that we've done in the CCOD, that's now being used as tools to track and trace people. And we'd appeal to members through constituencies, as we did before, that we'd work very closely with you to actually find people. 42 billion rand available for 4 million workers who have built the economy of the country, and how do we put that forward? So we've actually moved forward in a big way on TB and mining. There's a big global fund project, which I'll talk about in a minute. But we've raised a range of issues over the last couple of years in terms of delivering the process. So the annual performance plan spoke to the integration of compensation systems, the provision of decentralized services for current and ex-mine workers, and effective and efficient management of the fund. In the sense of developing an electronic database, members will recall I showed you one room where files were just thrown around. We inherited 30 rooms of files when we went into it. In fact, the building was falling in downtown Braamfontein, and ultimately we moved it into Metrofile. We've increased the payment of claims and annual reports. The external environment has continued with continued support, and you see some of the mining companies here. I mean, some of our mining companies on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange are number 2, number 3, number 4 in the world, and we appreciate their support. The mining companies collectively have put in the region of about 100 million per annum to take forward this process. As members would recall, this fund is deficient in the sense that the administration of the fund is paid for by voted funds, 60 million per annum. And that's reported in the DG's report, the annual report. So typical social protection funds, the levy should actually cover the cost of administration, the cost of care, and the income protection part. Our fund only covers the income protection part, as opposed to the fund in COIDA, the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act, in the Department of Labor. So were it not for the support of the external party, then we would not be where we are today in terms of the reforms. I pointed out the link to the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation and Department of Mineral Resources, and most recently we've been working with the Department of Labor. In fact, 3 weeks ago, we were in Pongola with the Minister of Labor and the Deputy Minister of Mineral Resources, and I'll show you some photos of that, working with them on outreach, integrated outreach activities, dealing with unemployment insurance, social grants, etc. provincial departments of health, because we can't deliver the one-stop service centers if we don't work with provincial departments of health. Our one-stop service centers are based at provincial facilities. So it's one-stop because if I sort of silicosis on one side of the assessment, if the ex-mine worker has hypertension, then they can be referred across the corridor and get the hypertension being sorted out at the provincial hospital, etc. And then social partners, the World Bank, Global Fund, United Kingdom Agency for International Development come to the party, particularly in neighboring countries, and we've had tremendous support for them, especially for the track and trace activities and some innovation and research. The internal environment has been very problematic last year. It eased off a bit this year. We had a lot of work disruptions by organized labor internal to the organization. In some instances, opposing the reforms, even like the decentralized services. And although I have engaged extensively with the internal, it's been a very difficult process in terms of internal in terms of organized labor internal to the organization. Of course, as you know, Shepherdson, we've had a declining budget. Overall, in terms of normally there might have been increase, but in terms of inflation, we have a declining budget, and we still have problems with information technology, medical equipment. As I pointed out, we just in this financial year, hopefully, we'll be able to solve the issue of medical technology. We still have problems with medical equipment, although we've got new lung function machines. Our X-ray machines are very outdated. And then human resources are a problem. We're not for the seconded officials that are coming in. And we're in the final stages of trying to meet with the Kaohsiung Department of Health in terms of providing some support with specialist support from this medical school, University of Pretoria, etc. So the integration of compensation systems last year was a process led by the Deputy Minister for Mineral Resources because he was seen, Honorable Deputy Minister Oliphant, he was seen as an independent arbitrator because the two affected departments is the Department of Labor, Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act, which covers the bulk of compensation for injuries and diseases, and Department of Health, which is ODUMO. And the key area was a policy principle that ultimately we should not be having these separate systems of compensation. It should be integrated in one system. As members would recall, workers don't realize that for hearts and lungs, they have to come to Ministry of Health, and for heads and legs, they have to go to Ministry of Labor. So workers don't work that out. If you get an amputation in the mining industry, you've got to go to Dan Mitchell's Department of Labor. And if you get a problem with your lungs, you've got to come to the Department of Health. And so it's really confusing. Also, the compensation payout benefits are quite different, and there's a range of other problems. So there's positives on my side, there's positives in the Department of Labor, and there's negatives also on both sides. There were five task teams: the policy and legislation task team, organization management, services, financing, communication. And some of the people behind me were part of these task teams. We had a first workshop in January of 2016, and then we had a summit in May 2016, a three-day summit. We brought together about 200 people, including neighboring country governments, because of the nature of the process, and then the trade unions in the mines and work sector, chambers of mines and academics, etc. And we reported to the Ministers of Health and Labor in October 2016. However, the difficulty was the Department of Labor felt that integration was not possible at this stage, owing to the backlog in this fund. So we don't have a clean bill of health, or we don't know what's going on in the fund. To all intents and purposes, maybe the commission is saying there's 3.9 billion, but maybe the bank account is not there. You know, nobody's gone in and checked the bank account. So the Department of Labor felt that let's clear up our act, and then restart the process. So that was the approach of the Department of Labor. The trade unions, in addition, felt that there are certain positives in the Department of Health or DMO Act, Occupational Disease and Works Act, like, for example, the post-exit employment medical screening program, the two-yearly benefit medical examination that we do in the one-stop service centers, etc. That is not provided for in the Department of Labor FIDA Act. So if you take a diesel mechanic who is being exposed to diesel emissions and is going to get a cancer later on, nobody provides for that mechanic 20 years from now. If he gets acute exposure to benzene or paraffin or whatever it is, then he'll get sorted out. But 20 years from now, he doesn't have a program, he or she doesn't have a program for diesel mechanics. Or farm workers who are spraying pesticides, they are covered by Department of Labor. 10 years from now, when they get lung failure or liver problems from spraying the chemicals, there's no program in the Department of Labor. So the trade unions, they saw the reforms in our system, They saw the issues around post-mortem provisions, etc. There are access issues, but these are provisions in our Act. And they felt that these provisions must be taken into the Department of Labor. Now remember, we were initiating these things on the Department of Health, and the Department of Labor has to initiate reforms in the department, in QIDA, in the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Disability. And one of the issues we are raising, at some stage, we should have a joint portfolio committee meeting chair. I'm not too sure who convenes us. It's been very good working with the presidency because, you know, we can't convene other departments. So often the presidency convenes us, and that's fantastic. Yeah, through the leadership of Rudy Dix and Paul and Kailash, where there's been some very good issues. But at some stage, we're going to need to discuss these issues because that's the positive which will go forward. So given in October we have this issue about a stalemate, that we cannot have integration because a receiving department doesn't want integration because of the problems, and it's well known. And a giving department hasn't got, has not cleaned up, you know, up to annual reports and audited financial statements. I then had to think very quickly, and I introduced the concept of a clean break principle of new workers only becoming part of QIDA. So if you take new workers, members might recall I had a triangle previously, which showed the 200,000 people who have compensable diseases, and then 300,000 plus minus in the medical bureau, either non-compensable or waiting medical certification processes. There are 400,000 current mine workers out of the 500,000 workers in the industry who are covered by us. And then there's a big unknown. As we do outreach activities, we go and find ex-mine workers. We've got migrant labor system. We never had a database previously. So the clean break principle says that current and ex-mine workers will be covered by Odumwa in a ring-fenced entity that will operate for the next 30 years. So that's the principle. And only new workers joining the sector as of the date of amended changes to the legislation that this committee will have to help us with, the Odumwa legislation. So new workers will then start under QIDA. So, and then it means there's no baggage. They start under QIDA, they develop their programs under QIDA, the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Disease Act, etc. And essentially, that's what I've worked on the last approximately now 9 months. And we finally reached conclusion. So I engaged with the Chamber of Mines and the mining companies, the trade unions in the mines and work sector, and other government departments about this clean break principle. And we also had support from the presidency, who felt that this might be the way to go, given the reforms that we've done and we're kicking in. In principle, in terms of the policy and legislative changes, new workers in mines and work sector to be under QIDA in the Department of Labor, ex-workers and current workers under Odumwa, a governance model of a ring-fenced entity. We're not too sure what that might be. It might be a trust, it might be a public agency, because at this moment in time, we are what is called, euphemistically, chairperson, a trading account in the Department of Health. We are yet to work out what is the definition of a trading account in the Department of Health, but be that as it may, we are working towards that. So we're looking at a new governance model, and the levies, for the revenue, will have to contribute to the administration costs and benefits. So going forward, we'll have a new model, and that's what I'll be working on. We are in the process of working with the legal department of the Department of Health to pull this together. So that's the first part of the legislative changes that we were working at last year, but unfortunately, because of the integration process reaching a stalemate, we took a new approach. So on governance, we had 6 audit and risk committee meetings. We're supposed to have 4. We had 4 advisory committee meetings, and we had 8 management committee meetings. Members will know there's a committee called the risk committee, which will be picked up in the audit, which falls actually under the medical bureau side. And we've had difficulties with that committee, but it's chaired by the chief inspector of the Department of Mineral Resources, and it's been an ongoing difficulty in managing that. But in governance, we've managed to achieve all the governance meetings for last year. Service delivery. Planning for the one-stop service centers in Kurman and Bridgesport was completed in the last financial year, 2016-17. These centers are now being constructed and will open later this year. Maybe I should just ask Ms. Padresi to give an update on the Bridgesport and Kurman one-stop service centers.
Chair, would you open Ms. Padresi?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. The Bridgesport one-stop service center is being constructed currently and is nearing completion, and that is at the Jilokong Hospital, close to Steelport in Bridgesport, and the date for the opening has been set as the 27th of October, 2017. It's a unique model from the previous one-stop in Carltonville and Umtata, in that this is a covered center with one entrance and one exit, and the pictures there will show you the stage of completion. There is a finalization meeting today and a handover of the site to the department. The Kuruman one-stop center is being built at the Kuruman District Hospital on the main road in Kuruman, and it's due for completion and opening on the 24th of November 2017. That one is pending. We're getting occupancy certificates from the municipality. On both levels, Chair, we've had the full support of the community, and we have found the most remarkable kind of cooperation, commencing with the office of the Premier in both provinces, and we have a local organizing committee in place. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for this.
One-stop service centers in neighboring countries. The Lesotho one-stop service center was opened in Mafeking in January this year, and Dr. Machali last week on Thursday, Friday visited the two centers in Swaziland. So we've really moved in terms of also the neighboring countries in terms of building the first. I'll give you an example of that at the end of this presentation. And then we conducted mobile health services in six districts in the Eastern Cape last year, one in the Northern Cape, one in Mpumalanga, and one each in Botswana, Lesotho, Mozambique, and Swaziland. And through this process, we reached, with both outreach activities as well as the mobile health services, the mobile health services, of course, limited, where we reached about 3,500, thereabouts, for benefit medical examinations, but we reached about 60,000 ex-mine workers with the outreach activities. The Deputy Minister of Mineral Resources was very instrumental in many of these outreach activities, and we worked very closely with the provincial department and neighboring country governments. On administration, we did present last time the database. We are now have a web-based electronic database. It's linked to the TEBA database. Remember, TEBA was a big issue for this committee. And I pointed out through the presidency, which was in October 2016, last year, the Interministerial Committee chaired by Minister Adebe took a decision that will take TEBA to court. TEBA was charging our people 90 rand, between 90 and 100 rand for a record of service. And government made a decision that I, representing government, will go to the state advisors and take TEBA to court. Anyway, they gave me the caveat, which was discussed with NUM, National Union of Mine Workers, and discussed with the Chamber of Mines about negotiating the record of service. But it shows you that government, when it makes a decision, can work. And the fact that we had an interministerial committee made up of different departments, headed by the presidency, made a decision. And by end of October, I'd reached an agreement with the Chamber of Mines to get the record of service for free for workers. And that was a major effort that pulled us together. We've now even moved further where we have a direct link with by SMS. So, and if members want to see, we'll demonstrate the database, but we just showed two members previously. But now by SMS in the field, at the one-stop service centers or the mobile clinic, we can actually check if somebody's got a record of service through SMS link. We are working towards an integrated database as we go forward. So these are tremendous moves about how government working together can actually deliver a greater good. We've got a pilot link of the database to the four mining companies for current workers. This will then extend to the 400,000. So our electronic database currently has the 600,000 records of the ex-mine workers. And now we are linking up with the 400,000 workers. And last year we piloted the link. So by the end of this year, or at the end of this financial year, by March next year, we'll have the 400,000 current mine workers in our database. So this will prevent future problems of not knowing where mine workers are, health records, etc., like we've had before. On payment, the banks, members would recall APSA Bank came to the party. I showed you a photograph about APSA working with us in the field. And even as recent as 3 weeks ago in Pongola, APSA was with us. Not that we didn't open up to all the banks. First National Bank and APSA, we approached them because they are our bankers, that's the funds. And APSA came to the party, and later on in October, we'll be meeting the Banking Association to convene a meeting of with all banks on improved access of people to no-fee accounts. That's the discussion we are having. No-fee accounts and improved access and going to the field with banking solutions as opposed to people coming to a banking branch. So it's a fascinating new model. And yesterday, we concluded an agreement with the World Bank for a financial banking consultant to help us with the issues about in-country and cross-border delivery of banking services. Because we cannot pay like SASA into an ATM where you go and put in your fingerprint. We have to pay into bank accounts, and this has been a major problem for ex-mine workers to actually access financial services. So the banking association meeting will take place. And one of the big issues was automatic calculation of claims. Workers, our internal workforce spent a lot of time on, and IT capital dealt with an automated calculation process. And now we'll spend some time on geomapping locating. So geomapping locating, which we talked about last time, is a very fascinating process. So members will know that if you have to open a bank account or get a cell phone account, you need either PICA or RICA purposes. The first thing they ask you, where's your utility bill? What's your proof of ownership of the place? How do you get proof of ownership in an informal settlement or a rural village? Well, in Lesotho, in Swaziland, in Amzumkulu, where we've been, and this is an example of a rural village and a rural, and members here will probably know more about these things than somebody like myself. So we're working with TomTom Gum, so TomTom Risk, about a unique system of how we can do map coding. So that BN46.K18 is a six-digit internationally known number. And the process in terms of this chair is that what TomTom has done is that they've mapped out three quarters of Africa, but they've virtually all 17 million households in South Africa, whether in an informal settlement, whether in a village, has been mapped out. So members will recall, if you see on the one side is the village laid out, and that's the TomTom map code. Now essentially what we can do is that you take a photograph of yourself, you take a photograph of your ID, you take a photograph of your dog, because maybe people are, you know, self-pride. They don't want to show the squatter home or the hut or something. You just have to take a photograph of your door, your door post, and your photograph of your some record of service or something. You send it on a smartphone to us in Joburg, and we'll give you a map code that would be, and we discuss with banking and social media. So very unique model about how you can actually do tracking and tracing and some issues. And we're going to start going into the field with this on a pilot test in general putting together. People have raised with us POPI, Protection of Personal Information Act. And I said, I've yet to see somebody suing me on personal information if I'm going to give them a benefit. And this is one of the big issues we had. So this is going to be something fascinating as we go forward in terms of tracking and tracing. That's the geolocating and mapping that we are working with. The funding for that has come partially from the Global Fund and the UK Development Aid model to pull this together. This will also be useful for the other unpaid benefits as we go forward in terms of tracking and tracing people. We are looking in terms of tracking and tracing and innovate. So this is the innovative process. We map the mine workers and the health services. And I showed you previously of how we know the routes that ex-mine workers take in terms of the migrant labor system, how they drain from the Eastern Cape, Lesotho, and come to Kaohsiung. Compensation payments. So here, this shows you the payments to date in terms of, and you can see the blue bars, how we've been going up since the previous year, financial year. And essentially, these are the amounts in terms of April 2016 to March 2017. We paid out approximately 5,296 persons, 200 million rand, compared to the previous year of 1,766. It's almost a 400% increase in the payments in terms of what we've done. And if you recall, members will see that 2,000 of those payments went to neighboring countries, to the tune of 76 million rand, and 3,000 were South Africa, particularly in the Eastern Cape. So all the systems that we put in place, the database, the tracking and tracing, the geolocator mapping, working with unemployed graduates in areas, has begun to deliver the goods as we've gone out there, found our people, and paid them, and took banking services with them in terms of the one-stop service. In terms of year-to-date, 16-17, we can see Eastern Cape, 51 million rand was paid out, Gauteng, approximately 7 million, SADC, 76 million, etc. Payments per month up to September 2017. So what I'm saying is that this is up to March, but up to September 27th, you can see we made, since we started tracking our compensation payments, and we give out 2 weekly bulletins to everybody, including the presidency. In fact, Minister Adeba says he gets it on his cell phone, so it's quite interesting when we met at the last IC. We paid 10,000, we made 10,000 payments to the tune of 332 million. So we're really moving forward in terms of this process than in the past. And so currently up to the end of September, we paid 7,500 people, approximately 226 million. And you can see Eastern Cape 30 million, Free State 10 million, SADC for 15 million, etc. Certifications has also gone up in the previous year. I pointed out the 20,000 mark that we reached under the leadership of Dr. Machali. And revenue. So we have to look at revenue from the mine ideally we should have 100% revenue. All the mines that are in our database should be concluded. So this was the qualification that we had in the Auditor General report, that that our revenue we were not going up with. We have a special task team now by the Deputy Commissioner, and he might talk to that later on. So we 72% in 2016-17, so we did have an improvement in terms of the previous year. The whole issue was to get a completed register of controlled mines and works, and then verify them by talking to the Department of Mineral Resources database, and also physically inspecting the mines. And we had a levy workshop in January this year to tell people how the levies are going to change, etc. In terms of financials, the actuarial valuation was finalized in the previous financial year, and the financial statements I talked about were signed up by the Auditor General. We're just awaiting the printing of government printer and then we submit it to your committee and the qualification on revenue. In terms of the current financial update, as of this year, we are doing another actuarial valuation. So previously we used to do 3 yearly actuarial valuations, but we put out a tender for annual actuarial valuation so we can be up to date. So the previous actuarial valuation was up to 31st March 2016. We are currently doing the actuarial valuation as of 31st March 2017, and the data is being cleaned right now and being worked through. In terms of financial statements, 12-13, the processing is completed. It's been submitted to the Auditor General, so they are just doing the audit query. We're responding to audit queries at the moment, and we prepared the accounting officer's report. I'm the accounting officer under delegation from the Director General. In the true sense of the Director General is the accounting officer, but she's delegated to the student. In terms of 2013-14 financial year, the processing is also complete. We're responding to audit queries, etc. So we hope to be able to make the 31st March deadline in terms of submission of these two financial statements to your committee, and hopefully Deputy Commissioner will work on the government printer in parallel with the system. Now the revenue update, I don't know, Deputy Commissioner, if you want to talk to it, because this was the qualification we had in the 11-12 financial year. Chair, to, with your permission.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Member. What we have here, the period from the Auditor General has been that we don't have a universe of the number of mines that are controlled, that are supposed to pay levies, which leads to a qualification. So we undertook a process where we would go through all the mines that were previously diverted. And in terms of this table here, you will see here, we see account system code assigned. Those mines are known, we've got Gazette, the Reno system, we know about it. Then we've got 10 mines where Gazette are outstanding. These are the mines we are currently working on. But we are very thin on the ground. We've got three permanent inspectors who are doing both verification of mine lists and also verification of revenue. Then we've got 29 mines where the system code aside, some information is missing. Our biggest challenge with mines is that there's a change of ownership over time. A Gazette would refer to a farm and the original owner of the farm. But if you look at the mine currently, it's owned by a different mine. So the AG would want us to link the Gazette, and we must show an audit trail of the current ownership, which is a process we even go to the website of the mine to try and get information. And then we've got 498 mines that are confirmed closed, even through the DMR database. We've got 14 mines that are not are controlled but not submitting, and we're still verifying the details around that. And also we've got 103 mines that need inspection. Some of the mines are closed, and as our inspectors went out, we discovered some of the mines are operated by the Zama, and it was very dangerous for people to go and verify those mines. We just requested them to take photos where they can't access the mines. And we've got the health inspectors are helping us to verify 16 mines, whether are they closed or operating. And we've got 5 mines that are submitting, but there's no parcel code. We have mines that are, they have a social conscience in that, you know, even though they're not controlled, because some of the mines are, especially the quarries, some of the quarries are controlled, they come forward and begin to pay levies, and we're going through a process to formalize those. So all in all, we have identified 1,002 mines, and those are the categories. We're busy cleaning up the data. This will lead towards a good one to clean.
Chair, then in terms of the discussions we've had with the Auditor General about the methodology, we hope to be able to, that if we can verify the 80% of the mines covering our revenue. Remember, we have 1,002, but some are a 3-person mine quarry.
that's paying a levy of, I don't know, 50 rand per month or 100 rand per month, as opposed to the big harmonies or gold fields or Anglo-American or Anglo-Coal, etc. So if we can cover the 80% of the revenue with the process, then they might accept. They haven't yet given us a final view, but that's the approach that the Deputy Commissioner is taking in terms of going forward. So going forward, we have the 7 one-stop services in neighboring countries that have been set up. We have an electronic link with the one-stop service center that's been supported. That means we will be working towards electronic submission as opposed to paper-based submission. We have major capacity building initiatives with the Global Fund and NIPAD in terms of neighboring countries on occupational health, social protection, rights of workers, etc. Members of the call chair, I take it that the letter of invitation of the study group has come to the committee. And we do have nominations. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. The minister has allowed us out of the compensation fund. We have a research fund that's paid for by the levy, and we have said that we need to do study visits that will enable us to develop a better compensation system, a better medical benefit system. The science, I can't pick up the science anywhere about why we do 2 yearly benefit examinations. So there's no link between exposure data and 2 yearly benefit medical examinations, or exposure data on silicon dust, etc. So we felt that let's go and learn from other countries with extensive mining sector experience, Australia, Canada, and Brazil. And there's some interesting models that have come up. I mean, some of us were trained in this field in occupational medicine, have an understanding, but we felt let's go with members of the portfolio committee, members of the National Council of Provinces that would accompany us. So Ms. Pardesi is supporting me in this with colleagues from international relations. That's going to be in March, April next year. I hope it's February, March next year, because we have to deal with the countries. And there's also a visit to the International Social Security Agency in Geneva, which is a multilateral agency that deals with social protection, the International Labour Organization, and the World Health Organization. So it's Geneva, and we're looking at members that could be mixed and matched, you know, two to accompany us to Geneva and Canada, two to Australia, etc. And Mr. White is looking at trade union and Chamber of Mines representatives and some academics. The trip is fully funded, of course, it's economy class fare. I'm not too sure about the hotels, but we have to the members. The scientific workshop, we're going to have a scientific workshop in about April, May next year, which builds on the experience of the last 5 years of reforming the compensation system with the Nodumwa, of the lessons that we've learned on technical tools, of electronic submission of data. We're working on some new pattern recognition algorithms with a software tool called Mr. Watson. Sorry, Mr. Watson, but yes, that's the male domination. Developed by IBM, that can start reading x-rays and ultimately determining pattern recognition and work on whether it's key in silico tests. So these are some of the things we want to do with the scientific case. Because we've got like 300,000 benefit medical examinations to be done as a backlog, and definitely it's not going to be possible for us to process such things, and there's some input on things. So I want to acknowledge a range of colleagues, self-explanatory. We would not have delivered the CCOD and Medical Bureau of Occupational Diseases to where we are today. In probably a world class in many instances of some issues. We still have backlogs. We're still not out of the woods. We're in high care. But we've moved from terminal. We were dying and almost dead, and we got resuscitated. And we've moved forward. There's some major programs coming through in 2 weeks' time. We have 3 weeks' time. 6 to 9 will be with the Sunday Health Minister's meeting in Polokwane. And then we're also working on the TB agenda in the mine workers, etc. So thank you in terms of the first part. I just want to conclude with some slides on the outreach activities so that members and then we can get into the session. So Chair, we've been quite busy. So this is the Mafeteng One-Stop Service Center that was opened in Lesotho in January. And it's slightly different from the one-stop in Carterville, but it's transport. It has a fully fed digital x-ray, lung function machine, and hearing equipment, and vision testing, and there's a clinical evaluation. And it's next to a district hospital in Mafeteng. A subsequent one has been opened in Maseru. In December last year, we were in Maputo with the World Bank project, supporting Zambia, Lesotho, Malawi, and Mozambique, and it's about setting up occupational health and TB in mining processes. In Velkom, great to know Harmony is here. Harmony did a major project using unemployed graduates. 25 unemployed graduates worked with us for 2 months in tracking and tracing, and I don't know if I would you check and ask Mr. Panfil just give a 2-minute update on Belcom and their existence. They reach 20,000 households. Can I ask Mr. Panfil to just make an input?
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, no, we found it quite interesting. We learned a lot. We went to 20,000 households, but we found that exercise not to be rewarding. But we reconnected with 8,000 ex-Harmony employees in the area and 4,000 other mining company ex-employees in the area. We've obviously collaborated with the commissioner to add to start the database, and we found 500 people that were already certified of the regional project Curio is now being in the process of being compensated. But a very worthwhile exercise for us.
Chair, this is Malawi. So Minister allowed me permission to go to Malawi. These were mine workers that waited the first grouping on the left. These were 800 people sitting on the floor in an open hall. They waited 6 hours for us to come because we were in different parts from the long way to get to this rural area. It took us about 3 hours. We had a meeting in the ground. People walked long distances. And then we went to another meeting with 2,000 the next day, workers in Malawi. So we have to understand migrant labor in a different context. When people have to walk 2-3 hours just to get to a meeting to understand their social protection rights in terms of the country. And I'm sorry about this thing, but they welcomed us. The traditional leadership was there, and people were so grateful that there was a team from South Africa coming to help them with their social protection benefits. And it's painful when we look at the conditions under which people are living now and the wealth that actually needs some of the issues that we need to discuss in terms of this process. So that was welcome. I mean, Malawi, and then I'm going to get on to the next one. Angola. 3 weeks ago. So, Chair, this was a major breakthrough. For now, we were working in our silo model. Department of Health would go to Lesotho and do an outreach and go to Amzumkulu. Department of Labor will go to Amzumkulu and do an outreach. Alexander Forbes will try and look for some mine workers and go and do an outreach. So we've started the first process. Government Pensions Association, GPAA, SASA, Mine Workers Provident Fund, Unemployment Insurance Fund. We came together as one team in Pongola 3 weeks ago. And this is how we now begin. I told you about the horizontal integration that the presidency is facilitating of bringing together all social protection funds, because a mine worker might have worked for Anglo-American today, Anglo-Harmony tomorrow, unemployed for some time, and then maybe moved into a metal industry. So these were the different funds, and then trying to access your funds is very important. So this was Pongola last week. Our health clinic was there, and we inputted. Yes, Aubrey and myself explaining to the mayor, Deputy Minister Oliphant, and Minister Oliphant from Ministry of Labour. Yes, the mayor welcoming us in Pongola. Deputy Minister Oliphant gave the input. And yes, Ms. Matila, she's here. And 3 weeks ago, both Aubrey and I were with us in the field. She's from Goldfield. Goldfield had a big tent. How many had a big tent? And these are some of the people, about 1,500 that turned up at Pongola to seek out the benefits. I talk about Kuruman and Vegasport coming up, and thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Honourable members, today is the presentation. We'll then have some questions, comments, clarifications. Honourable Kuruman, Honourable Vice, and that's all.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. The Commissioner, listening to you, I happen to be a member of this committee in 2010, though I left in 2013. But listening to you is like playing the cassette of everything that happened during that time. The only thing that gave me hope is honesty and the will that there's a will, there's a positive will to change things. But even the people who were there before, they also do the same thing. But I hope this time really, it's very clear that we are not moving fast to solve the problems of our people. And what is still disturbing, like you also tried to explain the reason why the annual report is not in front of us, but the reality is, as members of parliament, it also limits us to do exactly our oversight responsibility. Because the reality is we're dealing with taxpayers' money, we need transparency, we need to know what is happening. It's like here we're just doing a rubber stamp, we're just relying on you, not necessarily that we don't trust you, but I think we have to really change the situation. Chair, my second question is regarding the one-stop center that are there. I think Ms. should try to explain those one-stop centers, how they operate, and when the launching and the opening. But I just want to find out, how will they be funded in the future, those one-stop centers? And is the donor funding being used, or is the funding from the department? And maybe for future, how many centers are planned for the ex-miners? Because that is the reality. The number of ex-miners there, those who are affected, they're increasing. The commissioner, you try to explain to us in terms of the process how there will be harmonization between the two laws, the reform that you talk about. But does it mean that the ex-workers are not going to be entitled? Maybe you can explain further how they, because you talk about the break, the clean break, that you think that the only the new miners should. Maybe you can clarify that a little bit better or more so that we can understand. And I also want to find out when is the draft law, those harmonizing two laws, are they going to be publicized? And if I check, Chair, in terms of the slide 5, in terms of the internal environment, one of the things you said that there's a disruption to work by organized labor. I just want to find out what is the relationship between the Chambers of Mines, the unions, and you, because if there's that harmony, the working relationship, I want to find out how is it affecting everything. You also mentioned that there is a declining budget. If maybe you can tell us how the declining of budget is going to affect the crisis that you are already facing. The other thing, Chair, I'm happy to hear that there will be a study to know that we go there as members of parliament. But I was also asking myself, because this problem within the CCOD has been there for years, why did it take so long that we can only try to go and do benchmarking or to go and learn from other people that are doing this very well? I think I'll stop there, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, it looks like there is no hurry to finalize anything here. And the longer you delay, justice delay is justice denied. If we can't finalize this and we keep on saying we are making headway and we will reach that, I don't think we are very much pleased with that, or can we be pleased with that? We need the Commission to expedite this what they are doing so that we can have a sense of what is actually taking place. Just now, it is just what you are telling us. We will go about that and say, okay, fine. Maybe we supposed to, you are doing something that's been done. And how do we actually now have a sense of what is actually happening if it keeps on dragging? And there is no financial statement, and this is how many years now? I think we would like to advise that we need to have financial statements here. Because we can't just keep on saying, no, you know, the last one, 2011, 2012, this is 2017. And even if you have to work day and night to finalize something for us, it would be more important than just saying, well, someone in future, we will have finalized and have a financial statement. That is not acceptable. Do you think that the delay in harmonizing Odumwa and Koida is sort of becoming a human rights issue, because if they are not harmonized, you are not giving the mine workers their human rights. Their human rights. So maybe if you can push that distance, or if it is pushed that the two laws are harmonized, maybe it will be of great help to all concerned. Yeah, I don't know when they are going to be harmonized, but the sooner they are harmonized, the better for human rights, from the human rights point of view. Now, there is something again. We talked at length about the TEPA, about the data, the database that is with TEPA. Now you say that you are connected to it. Maybe does it not belong to this to the commission now? Are they not going to be the custodian of it? They still ask TEPA whether they can get to neutralize the data. I really don't understand. You said that they were charging our people for them to give them this thing, and you are now having access to it. That's it. Is it not possible that you grab it and make it yourself the custodian of this data? Because your work is based on this data. Now, if you are still going to say you have access to what is the outcome of your activities, it doesn't make, I don't know, it doesn't, I don't know, we have to find out why you are still trying to tap into the data, which is the mainstay of your activities. So maybe if you will explain. There is some technologies that are used in other mining countries which locate mine workers when they are trapped in the mine due to rock falls, and even if they are killed, and the technology can pinpoint where they are, so that when you do rescue, you know exactly where you are going. You are not just saying it's in this shaft, but exactly where that. Can the mine, the mine owners here, or through you, explain why this technology is not yet acquired and used in their activities? Now, there is another problem. I think we are not just dealing with dead mine workers, or those who are no more working in the mines and who have to trace, but the present people who are working in the mines now, and the well-being of the mine communities, not just the mine workers. Now, these people have children, they've got, it's a whole community, and the environment in the mining communities leaves much to be desired. And I don't know who covers or who cares for those people who work in the mining sector, and even in the adjacent villages which are not part of the mine. The dust, the environmental pollution from the mine affects them. Now, are they covered by this type of exercise, those people, when they are, or it is somebody's problem? So maybe, let me not confuse and say a lot of things that you may not be able to deal with. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I think you are correct, because some of the youth are basically, comments are basically not in their scope, but it is something maybe that we have to look into, working together with the mine houses. I just want to touch on a few things. On page 15, page 15 of the slide, which indicates a province where you have made payments. But I'm going to leave this with tracing. You are not indicating, because there is no mining activity in the Western Cape province. I'm raising this, Commissioner, because people, there are a number of people that are migrating, and therefore, when you trace, are you limiting your tracing mechanism only to those areas where there has been a mining activity? Even in the Western Cape, even in the Eastern Cape, I would be forced to ask, where are you more concentrating? I don't want to assume that you are concentrating more on the Eastern side of the Eastern Cape. Because on the Western side of the Eastern Cape, people have migrated from the Eastern side of the Eastern Cape to the Western side of the Eastern Cape, which is PE, Grahamstown, Island. So your tracing mechanism, are they enabling you to also have in those provinces where there hasn't been any mining activity, but where X mine workers may have migrated? And I am seated here, and I'm told if I'm wrong, that some of our people have migrated, they have carried there, they are not being known, they are diagnosed by not properly diagnosed in terms of what they may be suffering from because they haven't been that prospect. So that's my first question that has drawn my attention on page 15. As the Deputy Commissioner said, we are seen on the ground. I became worried. We are seen on the ground in terms of you may have picked up questions from me. Because who is to ensure that you have human resources to such an extent that you are then able to cover? Because the thinness on the ground is an impression or a perception that you have what you are on the ground. Personally, I understand that this is quite a very complex environment that you are trying to work in. I don't think it's very easy to track a mining worker. Because of people. But it may not be easy because of how their data was collected previously. But fraud in this whole people that may come up and claim that they're X. So you try to clean up the system, but the problem that is giving as a panic and a level of discomfort is that when you say you are still on the ground, it then means you don't have enough human resources of ensuring that you do the things that we're supposed to do. Yes, you have utilized unemployed graduates for how long? Have you utilized them for 6 months? What is the view of the department in you utilizing them? Because I would have appreciated it if you say until such time that we make a breakthrough in A, B, C, and D, we will still utilize the unemployed graduates. Are you constrained? Are you financial resources a constraint? I mean, if you have them, you're not able to give them a stipend, you're not ready to utilize that they are to receive a stipend. You don't have it is an environment that people are not prepared to volunteer, to just come and say, here I am, I'll bring my lunch box, if you can provide me with a pen, I'm just not an example. Because it's until we want to say to you, we do appreciate. In this almost 3 years, in this camp, with the challenges that you've created, we're able to see the breakthrough. But we will have these challenges and this panic because we understand that that is a very, this is a very challenging situation. I'm a bit worried on behalf of the committee. And in fact, taken aback by the issue of the integration of the legislation now is put. And we will be, we are still going to be prepared. Maybe the department, through Dr. Tele, or maybe we have to check the rest of the teaching. I have always been under the impression that as much as it may take long, that process, but there's a breakthrough. Now I get the sense that it's just 5 steps back. And what does that mean to those people who are then hoping? Because there has been a very profound reason why there was then a view, or why the three departments necessary that they must do that in that issue. Because of the history, we're not going to go back there. But if now everything is now, the other department is saying this, I think I take the point, we'll have to put into having a joint portfolio committee so that we're able to. We may be backing a wrong tree, maybe an example, but I think it's going to be, it's one area that I really want to labor on. I am a bit disappointed and disappointed. But in the last year, we were told that this is going to happen. Now we are told the Department of Labor is saying, no, not now. What is the impact of that for those people that are supposed to be taking? We want to thank you for the work that you do. The X-ray machine. How can you still have updated X-ray machines? What is the problem? Is the department not coming? Because if you are having updated X-ray machines, does that mean our people are at risk of not being there at this date and time of technology, where we think that technology is then going to the outdated X-ray machines? What risk does that mean? In terms of the updated I think those are the few questions and comments on my side directed then being asked by honourable members. What we will do, we will just to have a cup of tea just for you to sort yourself up and then come back. In just case.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to find, with regard to the inspections of mine, the target was 50, they managed to go to 99%. If I listen very well, the commissioner said that that's how they receive their revenue. But I just want to find out, who decides which mines have to pay the levies, and when was the list was updated for those control mines? If maybe you can tell us. Thank you.
Okay.